listening? No. No, everybody can hear. Look, you know. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord and to see the things that God is doing within the hearts and lives of the people. Amen. You know, He's raising up a mighty army of believers, people, in His last days that will carry that word and say, we believe His word and we stand upon it. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Y'all went a little far. Y'all did well, though. Amen. Oh, Joey went back there. You know, Joey went to a baseball tournament. My son was back there. And they didn't win. You know, it was a state tournament for homeschooling baseball teams throughout the state. And even one in Texas, they took him. And, you know, they didn't win, but he made an all-state second team for baseball. And, you know, I'm so proud of him. You know, there were only two from his team. One of them made it to the first team. The first team, you know, you have 10 players, 11 players. And the second team, he made all-state. So they were excited. So I was proud of him. He works hard in the sports and loves it. Loves sports, any kind of sports, soccer, baseball, football. He played it all. Played it all. And so we are proud of him. You know, just as parents are proud of their children with the weightlifting. And when is the next tournament? May 26th. Her two, what is it, both of them made it or one? Both of them. And we're proud of them. Oh, he did? Oh, my Lord. Powerlifting. We don't have a powerlifting. Huh? Rita, you could do it? Oh, yeah. Hey, look. We could all try. Hey. We have the 5-pound weights over here. We have the 1 pound over here. We have the, hey, whatever we got to do. Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't desecrate the house of the Lord like that. Those things are done in other places. You know, this is where the word of God comes from, the pulpit here. Amen. I tell you, I appreciate you guys. Thank you for your prayers for me, because I know you pray for us as your pastors. And seeing what God can do. I know we still need to pray for the families of the capsized boats. They still haven't recovered, from what I understood. All the men that were there. There were, how many men were there? 11? 12? 12? 7 still missing. You know, one. You know, it's an amazing thing. You know, probably, and I know some of you know, as I work for the mail service here, I talk with my customers. I mean, you know, we just talk about all kinds of stuff. I mean, people tell me, you know, their car's broken and they go and have it fixed. And I'm okay, you know, it's going to cost them. They tell me they're alive. I mean, it's going to cost them $300-something, and they can't fix it till next week because the part's coming from California. And I mean, all kinds of stuff. And, but you see, that's just, you know, I guess the person I am, the anointing of the Spirit of God, you know, be able to share and listen. And, you know, I have a customer, a Vietnamese American, that is a shrimper. And he was out there when that happened. And he came out of his house, and they don't come in often. I mean, they'll go out for months and come in for like 2 days. I mean, that's how. And so he came out, and he started talking about what had happened. And he said, I was out there on our boat. He said, like, winds that 182 or 83 mile per hour winds that passed through. And he said, it hit that boat dead on. That's what he was telling me. And he said, there's no way that boat could have lasted, you know, from the hit. He said it was so strong. He's 15 miles away, he told me. He that it broke some doors on his boat and some windows and stuff on his boat. That's how strong it was. He told me that it lifted that boat up like 20 feet. Now, how he knows that, I have no idea, but that's what he told me. He said it just capsized. It flipped over. And I asked him, I said, that was probably about 5 days ago or so. I asked him, I said, do you think anybody is still alive in there? He said, I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it. And, you know, he, another part of that, he said, you know, as all the rescue and all that was going on, he was telling me, you know, they shrimping, and he had their nets down. And one of the times that he pulled up his net, lo and behold, one of the bodies was in that net. And it said it shook him to the core of his being, because that was a human being. And he said it was swollen to the max, I mean, you know, whatever. So they took that body and they laid it into the boat. And he said, you know, we tried to show respect. And he said what they did, they went to the shore and they took the body out and they called whoever they needed to call. But what they did was they looked in the pockets and tried to find identification, which they found. And I'm not sure if he said he called or somebody called their relative and told them somehow they had found this body. And he heard the most horrific holler. You know, life is important to me. And life is sacred. And he told me, he said, you know, when he said, I hate, and he said a certain race of people, certain, he said, because they pulled up their net and had a body and cut that net and let that body fall. Now, he said, I'm telling you this. He said, I know for a fact. And I looked at him and I said, but you can't hate. And I said, I know you're disappointed. I'm disappointed. You know. But, you know, this is how, this is a Vietnamese guy that's an American Vietnamese. You know, they speak just like he speaks. He's been here for a long time. You know. They came in for the funeral. Their whole crew came in. He said, I don't care about the money. Lost money for days. Came in and went to New Iberia for the funeral. And I said, you know, I said, it's only Christians that love life from and honor life from the beginning to the end. I said, no other religion. And I had to say it that way. And he said, I know. He said, I'll read my Bible. I said, man, you do it. I said, that's good. You know, you're reading your Bible. I mean, and he goes to a church and I'm going somewhere, whatever. And so, but just the heartbreak of what he saw and disappointment, but what they did in honor. And so I said, I'm proud of you for what y'all did. Taking in honor. Not that you praise the body, but you honor. Honor what is there. And so he said, you know, he said, I will do all that I can to help you. And I said, thank you. But you see, sometimes we don't know the heartache of people's lives. You know, I know quite a few of you. I may know some parts of your lives. You probably think you know me, but you don't know every part of my life. And everybody has some heartbreaks. Everybody goes through some things that just tear down to the core of being. I know that. But you see, we serve a God that makes the difference. We serve a God that gives hope. We serve a God that will be there for us. We serve a God that will lift us up when we lay our lives at His feet. We serve a God that will lift you up no matter how bad we may feel, whatever we're going through. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. You know, that must have been horrific for that family to have that phone call. And I'm sure maybe some of you here might have gotten a phone call, something to that effect, accidents or whatever. And that's a horrid thing. But I tell you what, it's not bigger than our God. Then our God is what He can do. How He can soothe the heart and help and heal that part of our heart. I want you to turn, if you would, to Psalms chapter 46, please. Psalms 46. Father, Lord, just help them find all those bodies in Jesus' name. Father, bring closure to the people's lives in the name of Jesus. Psalms chapter 46 was written during the siege of Jerusalem by the Assyrians. You have to remember, in the Old Testament days, even in the New Testament, years ago, armies fought against one another, army against army. Then they'd have a truce, and then they would, you know, gather and get, you know, three or four with them and go and fight, you know, other groups. Well, this Jerusalem was always in the picture. You know, Jerusalem is basically is placed in the center of the earth where it's at when you look at it. Jerusalem, which is David's city, or the holy city, it's called at times. It seems like Jerusalem has been built up, burnt down, built up. I mean, literally burnt down, built up, burnt down. I don't know how many times. But here we have the Assyrians that have come against Jerusalem, God's people, not just in that city, but they had taken over all of Judea and Samaria and all those, Jordan, all those areas. And now they're at the last city to take it over. And God is going to show Himself to His people. Even when we sway to the left or to the right, God is still there for us when we call upon His name. You know, the Word says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. You know, it's an amazing thing. God didn't say, I might answer. God says every time from His Word, when we call upon Him, He will answer. And not only answer, but He will show great, not only great things, but mighty things, not only to the world, but to His people. His people. Because sometimes we lose or we forget what God has done, what God can do, and what God will do in the future for His people. We shall never forget. Don't ever forget how God saved your soul. Don't forget how He took you from 6 feet under almost and brought you back to life. Don't forget about how the enemy wanted to bring destruction to your life, but God didn't allow it to happen. And how He took you in His hand. And He said, let me make something out of this man. Let me make something out of this woman. And did great and mighty things. Might have raised you up to be a mighty man of God. To believe Him for the miraculous. But here we see in Jerusalem, the people were there. And all of a sudden they see their city being sieged or taken over almost, surrounded by the Assyrian army. To be sieged means a military blockade of a city to compel it to surrender. They came. They got to every entrance. They were around that city because Jerusalem had a wall that was built around about it. They did that in the Old Testament and parts of the New to protect the city. They would build walls way up high, very thick, so that their enemies couldn't come in and walk into the city and take it over, but they had to break down the gates or climb the wall. And these people in Jerusalem could see that the Assyrian army was all the way around them. And I tell you what, they weren't serving God at that time, but they started to call upon their God. And how many times have we been there also, that it takes some kind of maybe calamity, or it takes some type of little hit from the side for us to say, okay now Lord, I'm calling upon you. You're going to have to help me. Help me, Lord. And how God comes in every time because he loves us and wants to take care of his people. That God has never let us down. Now, we may not have liked the answer at times, but he always answered, even though it was no sometimes. That we keep our faith and our trust in him no matter what, people. And as this Assyrian army was around about Jerusalem, they were compelling them to come out or surrender. Now the Assyrians came from now, which we would call Iraq. Seems like all problems come from there. Or the southwestern part of Turkey. But they had surrounded them. And the king of Jerusalem said, I need to do something. Now look at verse 40 of chapter 46, verse 10. Look at verse 10 of that chapter. Now the whole chapter is written towards the king and what has happened. But look at verse 10. It says this, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes, even as the people in Jerusalem, the Jewish people, are God's people, if you want to say it that way, here they were being attacked by the Assyrians. They knew that they were surrounded. That means the people in the town couldn't come out of Jerusalem, or they would be killed. They couldn't go out to get food if they had needed some kind of food beyond their city. They couldn't go and get supplies beyond their city. So eventually, all the Assyrians had to do was just wait. You know, it's like the little cat that just waits for the mouse. Just wait. Because he knows that mouse is going to come back to that cheese. And he just waits. Or the dog just waits for those little kittens to come back out and get them. Just waits. He knows they have to come back out. And so he just waits. And so they waited. And the king said, we got to do something. But God gave him this scripture, and they said, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we can get so rattled in life, people, that we forget. God wants us to take a little bit of time. Be still. Be still before your God. Be still before him. You might say, well, what do you mean? Don't get into this rush all the time. I know the world is a place of rush. You know, we're rushing to get the kids. We're rushing to go to work. We're rushing to come home. We're rushing to cook. I know it. But we have to do what the scripture says so we can get the mind of Christ and have the heart of God to do the work that God wants us to do. We have to have the mind and the heart to be able to do the work. We have too many ministers that don't have the mind or the heart of God. That's why they're not doing much for the Lord. And so we have to have the mind. Be still before the Lord. And know that I am God. It's an amazing thing. Those people in Jerusalem should have known who God was. But the scripture says they really didn't. They had forgotten how God brought them out of Egypt. They had forgotten how God supplied for them manna. They forgot how God supplied for them quail and meat. They forgot how God supplied for them water. out of a rock. Sometimes we forget how good our God is, people. Don't forget. Don't forget how He saved your soul. Don't forget what He did for you last week, last year, last 10 years. Don't forget how He set you up to receive Him as Lord and Savior. Don't forget how He blessed your life. Don't forget how He supplied money for you when you know you needed it. And God brought it about. Just as the people in Jerusalem had forgotten, people, let's not forget. Let's not forget what He's done for us and what He'll do for us and where He'll lead us and guide us. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. Be still means to stop striving. Stop fighting. Just relax. Now, that doesn't mean we don't do things. It's sometimes like God is here. We just may be over here doing all kinds of stuff. And I know we need to get some things done. I know that. I know personally, I know how it is to work out and prepare and do and come and do this. I know how it is at all. But the anointing and the Spirit of God and what He does. See, I'm going to take my own stuff. I have to take that time to settle and say, okay, Lord, go there. And you know, when I say settle, that means you can sit down, do whatever. Maybe take in your word and just read. It may be sitting on the back swing somewhere at home and just swinging and talking to them. Being still, that He doesn't have to let something come to get us back on track. God is looking for people that know Him. See, I want to ask you something, but you know, I don't want an answer. Don't raise your hand. I don't want an answer. I don't want anything. How much time would you spend with the Lord? How much? And hey, just because somebody might spend 5 hours a day or whatever, and somebody spends just 15 minutes a day because that's all they have, that doesn't mean one's above the other. No. I want to make sure we know those things, okay? But take some time. Because the devil will have us so busy. Because you know what? If you own a home, or even if you're in a home, or whatever, or you have a vehicle, there's always something to fix. There's always something to cut. There's always something to make better. Always. And every time you decide that, Lord, I'm going to just sit down for the next 30 minutes and just kind of sit here. Man, the devil will have your mind going off on all kinds. Man, I could be doing this and this. And look, shut that mind. Say, okay, Lord, renew my mind to settle. Because you see, God could speak to us anywhere, son. Anywhere He can speak to us. But we have to have that attitude to listen. And we got to take that time to be still before our God so that He can tell us things, so that He can speak to us, you know, especially if we have a big decision, any decision, big decision, small decision to make, that we want God to intervene because we've gone to Him and we've said, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord God. You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Be still before your God and let Him speak to you and share with you some things that you and I need to hear so we don't make that wrong mistake or go in a path that is not right. Be still. Relax. You should put your hands down.
and could find them.
Don't get in the mess of other people's drownings. You know, there was a story about a man. There was some pastors that had gone to a pastor's meeting. It was like a camp type thing. You know? And so here they were there, and all of a sudden, you know, people were swimming and stuff. And one of the pastors was a, you know, well-known swimmer. I mean, you know, he knew how to swim. Excellent. You know, we basically know how to swim. Some people just swim better than others, but this guy was excellent. I mean, he knew how to swim. Had competed in certain areas for swimming and stuff. And so here they're looking, and all of a sudden they see one guy start to drown. You know, like, I mean, just going under the water, coming back up, going, you know, just whatever. And they look at the guy that is the great swimmer and says, aren't you going to go for him? And the guy that's the expert swimmer says, well, I'm waiting for one thing. For him to wear himself out first. Because if I go out there and he has all his strength, he's going to drown both of us. Don't get in the mess of other people's drownings. It'll wear you out. It will. Now, that doesn't mean we don't help. There's a difference, you know. There's a difference between help, but there's a difference between somebody constantly drowning you. Get rid of that. Don't let it drown you out. Because you have to take time with your Lord and let Him fill you back and fill you with His Holy Spirit, His anointing, and His power. You know, seven times. What is seven? The number of perfection, God's number. You know, seven times in the scriptures it talks about being still. Be still. Now, you know, that's seven is God's number, just like six is old sweet foot, the other God, whatever, that we don't like. But seven is God's number. And so it's seven times it alludes to be still in the scriptures, from the old all the way to the new. So God is saying, be still before me. Let me work in you. And then it seems like when we spend that time in Him instilling in us His likes, His dislikes, His scriptures, His word, getting, we are able to go out in that world and give out God. You know, have you ever done something and you said, oh my God, what did I do? That wasn't God. Everybody raise your hand. Okay, come on, I know. Let's go on. We've all done it. Because we're all human. And we trust in a God that will help us. He works on the inside of our hearts. Thank the Lord. Works in us and through us. But here we see God is working upon the king. Now, you have to remember, if they stayed there, the Syrian army, God's people are destroyed. If we stay and don't do what God says, we are destroyed. The scripture gives life. Man gives death. The scripture gives life. That's why when we speak the scriptures of the word towards a person or towards ourselves, what are we speaking? We're speaking life to that individual. We're speaking life of the word of God that is alive. You see, this word is alive, people. It's alive. Now, you might say, well, wasn't that written over 2,000 years, 3, 4? Yes, it was. But I tell you what, this word is still alive today. God says if you will believe His word, we can have it. But we got to believe His word, and if He wants us to have it, we'll have it. You know, we can believe His word for healing. We can believe God's word for a blessing that we need. You know, God is faithful. Faithful. You might say, well, you know, does God really care about how much money we have? Well, yes, He does. He cares what you do with it. I remember I had no money. I mean zero. You ever been there? Yeah. Quite a few people. Really on almost like borrow time, it seems like, just on a wreck here. No money, no money. And you know, you need to go to work, and you have, you look at the gas tank, and it's on a little E. How do they still put E on there? Okay. Y'all know the little arrow, just a matter of fact. You know, like, you know, on your, you know, you know, on your gas tank thing, on your dashboard, you know, it says how much gas you have. If you look at the arrow on either side of that, it'll show you where your gas, where you put your gas, you know, your gas cover. I didn't realize that. I didn't know why that was there. But if it's on the left side, that's where you, you know, you drive up to the left side. If it's on the right side, you drive up. Y'all gonna all go look after church, huh? We'll take a poll about who has the gas tank, the gas to put on the left or the right side. But that's interesting. I saw that on a news something, I think it was. You know, some of those little things that we don't realize that cost, that make the vehicle go up, you know, in price. You know, that's probably a few, that's probably $500 for the little arrow. You know, we don't need it. We'll find it. If it's not on the left side, we'll turn around and go on the other side. Interesting fact. Right? But here we see Hezekiah, the king of Israel, of that Jerusalem area, to satisfy the king of Assyria, he went to the treasury, God's treasury, of God's people. And he emptied out the temple royal treasury of silver. He took 300 talents of silver. He stripped the gold off the doorpost of Solomon's temple, which came out to about 30 talents of gold, to give to the king of Assyria. As he went and they gave it to them, they were not satisfied. You know, the enemy's never satisfied. You know when the enemy, let me tell you when the enemy's satisfied. You can give him this, and you can give him that, you can give the enemy all kinds of things. You know when he's satisfied? What does the enemy come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. He starts with step one, stealing. Then number two, killing. And number three, he can't wait to destroy. And to see you 6 feet under and in hell. That's when he's satisfied. The enemy's never satisfied. But our God is satisfied when we love him. When we give our hearts to him. When we say we love him. My Lord. That turns the heart of our God. But here we see, it says, God wants us to be still and to listen to him. That didn't satisfy. 300 talents of silver, 30 talents of gold didn't satisfy King Sennacherib. But look at 2 Kings chapter 19, if you would. Turn to 2 Kings. Close this up. Chapter 19, verse 1, page 664. It says, and it came to pass when the king Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. That's what he should have done a long time ago. Before he gave the silver, before he gave the gold. You see, the devil wants to steal your finances. Don't let him do it. I'm telling you, he wants to take every cent you got. He wants to take every penny you got and use it for hell. But I tell you what, you stop him by tithing and giving. Let me tell you, it holds off the enemy, and God stops the enemy. God literally stops the enemy from stealing from us and taking from us. As we spend that time with him and give what is his. Look at verse 20 of that same chapter. it says, "Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, that which you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard." That's some great words, people. He won't get "I have heard" till he went to the temple and did what he had to do with getting with God. Look, people, we want God to answer us and to show us things and to reveal and revival and all this stuff. Hey, look, I want it too. But we're going to have to take some time in being still before him and letting the Spirit of God move within our hearts and move within our lives. You know what? We may have to reschedule some things. And that's a hard thing. That's hard. Because I know how it is to get up very early. I know how it is to go to work and come back and be tired and have to do other things. But you know what? When we can schedule things and do it the way God shows us how to properly do it, my God, we'll get everything that God wants us to get out of it. We will have that time and be still a little bit. Could be 10 minutes, but let me tell you, 10 minutes is better than zero. Wow. Take that time in your car, whatever it is. I don't even know, whatever it is. Take that time when you're taking your hot bath after work. Hey, let me tell you, start speaking in tongues and asking God to move upon the church, upon your family, upon the house of God. Look how God hears. Now look at verse 35 and 36. I'm about to close, people. Of that same chapter, page 666. Yeah. They're kind of little, the eyes came out like, what? Hey, look, you know, don't be like some people take that page out. You know, don't do that. Or just renumber it. That's, if you want to do something, just put 665B. Something like that, you know. You heard about the one that got the, they got a cell phone and it had 666? Oh, my Lord. They called and said, I don't want that number. They got a new number. But, Lord, yo, that doesn't make sense. Don't worry about that stuff. That doesn't happen till we're out of here. We're out of here. Okay? Okay, so, hey, if you have 666 in your bank account, hey, thank God you have 666. You know? So, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord you have that amount. You know, hey, go deposit a penny. Get the no, a dollar. Get out of the six. No. But look, let's get back serious. Okay, Lord. Focus. 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, talking about the people in the city of Jerusalem, behold, they were all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. Praise God. Sit at the feet of Jesus, and you'll get the answer. And let me tell you, God will maybe send an angel to destroy the things that need to be destroyed so that God can have his way and do what needs to be done. For some reason, God uses humanity to bring about the goodness of our God to a lost and dying generation. 180, they didn't, hey, the king didn't know what was going to happen, but he trusted God. He trusted self with giving the talents and the gold. But he trusted God after that. And when he trusted God, God sent an angel and killed 185. Can you imagine 185,000 men around that city? Now, it might have been more than that. Who knows? But they all were dead. 185,000. One angel. Hey, that's how powerful our God is. One angel, people. I know we don't have a Syrian army around each of one of our houses, but I tell you, we might have some demons there that God can depart and kill and destroy. Let me tell you, God can move like he wants to move. Let him. Look to him.
Look to Him continuously. Don't let the world tell you it's not worth it. Let me tell you, it's worth it when we put our trust and our faith in our God. Because we don't know what He's going to do. And we know whatever He does, it's good for us. Hallelujah! Good for His kids. Good for His children. He'll make a way when there seems to be no way. That's the kind of God we serve. Old Slewfoot would like to destroy God's people, but he can't. He tried to do it with this pandemic stuff. I tell you, it almost did. But I tell you what, they didn't realize that our God was coming alive. And what God can do, what God can do, people. There's nothing too big that God cannot solve in your family. There's nothing too big that God cannot solve in a couple's life. There's nothing too big that God cannot solve as a single woman or man or a child. God is in the business of bringing things back together and solving things. That's the kind of God we serve. Can you imagine? They got up and they said, oh God, they're still around here. They got up and the men went up to the wall, and I'm about to close. I know I'm going over a little bit. And they looked. I need the binoculars. Out to the one on the west side, and the one on the west side hollers out to the one on the east side, and the east side calls out to the south and the north. It's the same thing over here. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. They're all dead. And look, a party arose out of that place because they saw what their God could do. Now, it doesn't say that it showed the angel, but I tell you what, I think that angel was seen by those people. The 185, he killed them all. But I tell you what, I bet you they saw that, because it says it was an angel. How would they know? But by the Spirit of God. But an angel, I bet you, was there somehow, that they saw that it was the Spirit of God that moved and killed 185,000. Let me tell you what, God is in the business of controlling things, helping you and helping circumstances to do what we need to do and to get things accomplished according to what He wants. Your God is alive. Your God is well. Your God is in the business of moving mountains on your behalf. That's the kind of God we serve, that can move certain things that are hard. But I tell you what, as we bow before our God and we call upon Him, He says He will come. He will come. Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. That's the power of our God. Hallelujah! 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 Praise God. Praise God. One last thing. Mary and Martha went to the house where Jesus was. Or Jesus came to their house, I'm sorry. In Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And Jesus started to teach them. And Mary just stayed there. Martha was in the kitchen getting all the food ready, and she came to Jesus and said, look at this one. You know, they sisters, and you know, siblings fight all the time, no matter what, even if they're Christians. And she said, Jesus, look, she's not helping me. Tell her to come help me. And Jesus said, Mary has chosen the best. Look, the best thing. The best thing is coming. Sometime throughout the day or early morning, you're sitting there and asking God to do it. That's the best thing. Asking, giving God your heart. Praising Him, honoring Him, thanking Him for who He is.
getting that word and reading it and finding out how great God is. She chose the best. The king has a high chose the best. Let's choose the best. Okay? Come on, people, we need to amp up our prayer lives. Come on. Amen. 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 Come on, people. I'm serious. I'm serious about this. I mean, I just, the Spirit of the Lord just came in and gave me that message. I said, Lord, okay. We need to amp it up. That doesn't mean that, you know, everything we're going to pray, make, whatever. But I tell you what, we need to come before God and persistently knock it off. If that would break, oh Lord, and knocking on the door of our God. Come on, people, keep knocking. Keep knocking. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Your children need it. Your spouse needs it. Your church needs it. Your pastors certainly do need it. Souls come in by us praying and seeking God and breaking the chains of bondage upon their lives and having God move upon situations. Be still and let God say, okay, he can totally show you how to pray. He can show us what to say, what to do. I know I told this story before, but I'll say it again as it comes to my mind. There was a guy praying for a friend. And prayed 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 and prayed. Years and years and years and years and years and years. And yet, he never got saved. Finally, he said, okay, now, Lord, how do you want me to pray? You know, when you get into God's business, you have to do it God's way. Because if we do it our way and it comes about, that means we think we're something. When we're nothing. And so God says, now I want you to start praying in tongues every day for me. In less than a week, God's way, that man was saved. Hallelujah, huh? Amen. Less than a week, people. Get with God and say, Lord, you see my family. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to pray? I'm not saying it's going to be in a week, but I'll tell you what. You're on the right track with God. He's still in the middle. He's still in the middle, okay? Amen. You can please stand.